was doing appearances as Jay. And when he found out that there was going to be another cast member involved, instead of saying, I'm not that one, he said, oh, I'm going to be out of town. And then another time, a patient of mine went dancing with her husband and said, oh, I met Dennis the Menace, Jay North, last night. And I showed her a picture, and she said, nope, that's not the guy. So this, he was plagued by at least two or three different people running around out there claiming to be him.
Wow.
So Lord knows what all is attributed to him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember. You know.
Navy for a while, and he did a film called Teachers, I believe, with Angel Tompkins, and then he did General Hospital, and then he pretty much retired as an actor until we did the nostalgia circuit. And one reason that we went out as much as we did, at least initially, was because he wanted to shut down the imposters making a living off of his name. He wanted to get his face out there.
Does Jay look similar to what he did years ago? Or?
No. If you knew him, the answer is yes. But if you just knew him from Dennis the Menace, no, you'd never guess in a million years.
Yeah.
His hair was always dark.
Because, I mean, if you look at Jerry Mathers, for instance, mm-hmm. there is a resemblance, you know, to what he was when he was young.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, Dwayne Hickman looks a lot like he did when he was Dobie Gillis and actually sounds exactly the same.
Right. Well, Jay was a lanky child, you know, thin, and they bleached his hair blonde.
Ah.
You know, he's stout now, and his hair is his natural color.
Mm.
Like I say, once you get to know him and you see the smile, you go, oh, yes, that's him.
Do people ever recognize you?
No.
Never.
Because happily, I never really looked like that. That's what I call my Margaret drag. Unless they did me up in my curls and put glasses on my face, I could walk around and no one would know it was me.
That's funny because you mentioned the nostalgia thing. And, of course, my radio show, that's all we do is interview folks from that time period. And some newer people, but most of the time it's people from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And nostalgia seems to be huge. What kind of shows do you go to? Do autograph sessions?
Mm-hmm.
What?
We do autographs. We do talk shows, you know, the Where Are They Now type of thing.
Yeah.
We do personal appearances for fundraisers. Jay has worked for home shows, that type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a great era that that these shows evoke, you know, is a feeling of security, I guess. I don't know. It's something the country's changing so rapidly, and that's a real warm, fuzzy sort of a feel to remember those shows. So
it is. It kind of harks us back to more innocent days.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if they weren't, at least we all acted innocent.
Tell us a little bit about the rest of the cast members, since we don't really know them that much. We know them, you know, remember Gruff Mr. Wilson and Dennis's dad and stuff like that. Well, tell us about some of the people in the cast and how they treated the kids like yourself and Jay.
Well, we had a wonderfully warm set. All of our crew, the directors, and, of course, the cast worked very well with kids, and we were like one big happy family. In fact, Herbert Anderson, who passed away several years ago, played Jay's father, and at one time he and Jay owned condominiums in the same building in North Hollywood years after the series. Gloria Henry is a dear friend. She played Dennis's mom, and she will go out on the circuit with us sometimes, and she has appeared on talk shows, and we're all going to be, the E Station is doing a feature on Jay's life story, and they've interviewed all of us for that.
Oh, for one of those the portraits behind the scene things?
Yeah, the True Hollywood story.
Yeah, True Hollywood story.
That should be forthcoming this fall.
Wow.
And Bill Booth, who played Tommy, Jay's sidekick,
mm-hmm.
is an attorney in Northern California. And he does not work at all anymore. And he's never done any of this with us. And that's it as far as surviving cast members go. We worked with wonderful people. It was very warm.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Wilson were really cool people on the show. I mean, the characters, I always wondered what Mr. Wilson was like in real life, you know.
Joseph Kearns was very professional, very sweet. I did not know him well. When he was not working, he was off to himself. But he was just aces when it came to working with kids. And Sylvia Field, who played his wife, was just so dear and darling. In fact, when Joseph Kearns died, they elected to write her out and bring in Mr. Wilson's brother and his wife.
Right.
And it was so sad for everyone when Sylvia left. No one wanted that. But Sarah Seeger was also very sweet, but, you know,
Yeah.
She wasn't Sylvia.
Well, it's kind of sad. I mean, you guys were young children then, right?
Yes. Yeah. About 10 years old.
Yeah. Now, when you left Dennis the Menace, what, you were about 13 or so?
Yes.
What was it like all of a sudden being on a top show and then being just, Gene Russell going to school again?
Well, it's a challenge to come off of that. Part of you is kind of relieved because I was growing up in those days anyway, and, you know, I was sort of bound to play a child in that role. So there was that aspect of relief, but then it began to sink in that something very special had ended, and, you know, I'd be lucky if I was involved in anything like that again. And I did continue to work. I did the Birds for Hitchcock and did stage and soundtrack work and commercials. But, you know, slowly but surely it wound down. When I was about 16, I had my last job, a couple of commercials.
But you see, you actually went on and get educated,
yeah.
Went to medical school, became a chiropractor, and you've been doing that for 20 years now. So, I mean, you actually, you'd made something of yourself.
Well, right, and, you know, my mother gets a lot of credit for that because she saved a lot of my money, and she did not have to. And this ties in my Screen Actors Guild work. You know, everyone thinks the Coogan Law protects a child's earnings, but it protects. It has been protecting less than 5% of what kids make. My whole career, I never had a Superior Court contract, so the Coogan Law didn't kick in. We are in the process of changing that in California now. We've initiated legislation that is going to Gray Davis sometime this month for signature, so that 15% of everything a child earns will be saved, and this is a first. So back to my mother. She did not have to save my money for me, but she felt that she needed to. It was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 18 and not working and unhappy, she handed me a savings book and said, "Honey, your career may be over, but look what being in show business did for you."
Mm-hmm.
And it turned my life around at that point. I will never forget that day because I thought, okay, this was a fabulous opportunity. It may be over, but now it's on me to you know, carry it from here.
Did you have enough money left over to go to medical school?
Chiropractic school.
To chiropractic school?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Got myself a Carmen Ghia, went to chiropractic school, and went out there to tackle the world.
Which chiropractic school did you go to?
Cleveland Chiropractic in Los Angeles. Carl Cleveland was one of the pioneers.
It's interesting to see what's happened with chiropractic. I also do marketing, a lot of medical marketing. And years ago, the MDs, the medical professionals, looked down at chiropractors. But now things have changed. Holistic medicine's become vogue, and doctors of MDs are now working with chiropractors to betterment of patients.
Well, sure, because the threat of truth is that if a patient takes responsibility for their own health, nutrition-wise, exercise-wise, and keeps himself as healthy as possible, that's what you want to do. And then if you get sick, of course you need medical intervention. But this is sort of the stopgap before you go to the doctor's office. It creates a patient responsibility.
Mm.
And I think that had not been addressed in society. You know, you trash yourself, you go to a doctor, you say, "Give me a pill, sew me up, fix me," you know?
Yeah.
And chiropractic addresses this whole world before you get to that point. And it's rather unfortunate because of what's happened with all the HMO conversions in California. Very few insurance companies are adequately covering chiropractic, if at all, at this point. And things are in a real state of upheaval in California.
We're talking to Dr. Gene Russell. You know her better as the lovely Margaret of Dennis the Menace from 1959 to 1962. I want to take a break. We have to do a couple of commercial spokesmen here so we can get some money on board here. But Gene, when we come back, can we talk a little bit about Alfred Hitchcock and the birds?
Sure. Hi there, this is Kevin Meaney. Whenever I'm in Brockton, I listen to Mark Schneider, the number one radio talk show host in Brockton, Massachusetts.
And welcome back to That's Life with Mark Schneider, and my guest on the line, Dr. Gene Russell. She, of course, of the fame of Dennis the Menace, and also right now the national chair of the Screen Actors Guild Young Performers Committee. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about The Birds. That was a terrifying film for all of us, and I'm wondering what it was like to be in the cast of that film.
I had a ball. I'll take you back to the interview process. I was involved in Dennis the Menace already. This was made during hiatus.
Uh-huh.
I had a one-on-one interview with Alfred Hitchcock in
wow.
his office, and he had pictures of kids with their eyes gouged out and blood down their face, you know, screaming and running all over the office. And I was sitting there, and I looked around, and I said, oh, you know, great, I love horror films, and so far, you know, all I've done is comedy. And got the job, went to Bodega Bay. We were there for a week filming that. And I had a mechanical bird strapped to my back. I was in the schoolhouse sequence, and we'd start down that hill, and I'd flick a switch, and the bird would flap and peck at my head. And the first time down the hill, it actually drew some blood.
Ooh.
Right, so they had to put some cotton on the beak and rig it a little bit differently. But we had a ball.
That was a terrifying movie.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll never forget that. I mean, just watching it was terrifying.
Well, good. It worked then.
That and Psycho, two real classics from Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, I just will never forget being in that. It was a real privilege, and Suzanne Plichette was terrific to work with.
Do you ever watch that movie?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I'll catch it every now and then. And it's funny, from day one, it never scared me, of course, being behind the scenes and knowing how it was done. Wouldn't, but it was good stuff. It was a lot of fun.
We're talking with Jean Russell from Dennis the Menace. Of course, she was Margaret on the show. You know, it's interesting. We've had also Paul Peterson on the show a couple of times to talk about his group, A Minor Consideration. I know you're involved in that as well. It's most people stereotype young performers as problem children. I mean, we've seen people, you know, like the Different Strokes cast and all these terrible problems that some of these kids have. And yet there are many people like Ron Howard and yourself and many others who have come out unscathed and actually quite healthy. What is it that A Minor Consideration and also the Screen Actors Guild are doing to try to make it a little smoother for these kids?
Well, Paul and I have been in cahoots since the late 80s. Paul's the catalyst, and I'm sort of the facilitator, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul was instrumental in getting me appointed to being the national chair of the Young Performers Committee. And you see, we started doing talk shows and answering why and how come questions, just like you posed to me.
Right.
And, you know, I would have to say, you know, but for the grace of God, because I understand how easy it would be to have gone in that direction had my mother not saved any money for me.
Mm.
Or had we not had some very specific guidance at a crucial point. My brother, who was a child actor as well, starred in a film with Roddy McDowell in 1965. And Roddy spent a lot of time talking to my mother that summer about his transition from being a child star to like an unemployed teenager,
mm-hmm.
adult actor. And that was crucial. That was critical, because she was then able to say, oh, well, this happens to everyone. You know, this happened to Roddy. How would I respond in that situation? And she was able to very lovingly guide us through that. And, you know, I must say, it is a challenge. I will not deny it's a challenge when you're used to working in the most exciting business in the world. Okay, with, you know, pop culture heroes,
mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you're dismissed, you know, with a thank you very much, have a nice life,
mm-hmm.
and you're supposed to go now function in High School USA. I mean, for instance, my brother did a film with Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris called Safe at Home, and he was billed as the luckiest kid in the world. He was Anne Margaret's little brother in Bye Bye Birdie. We made it the same studio with Dennis the Menace, and we've got a still of me on the Birdie set. We're both on Birdie's bike. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, this was our community. This was our childhood. This was our society. And it is a challenge, to say the least.
How did Brian do in this challenge?
Brian has moved to Whidbey Island in the Puget Sound. He's happily married to his high school sweetheart. He has a couple of kids, and he's a carpenter.
Mm.
And he does not do the nostalgia circuit.
Why not?
You know, he told me that every time he gets a whiff of nostalgia, I think it maybe evokes memories or something. I don't know. He just doesn't go there.
It's kind of, you know, and radio is the same way. It's kind of an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you stay away for a while and you get a whiff of it, you may want more and more, and it might get frustrating.
Yeah, and it plus just, you know, the wave of emotion can be confusing, I think. But you're right, it's addicting. I mean, performing, there's absolutely an endorphin rush. No two ways about it.
Mm.
And, you know, so you have physical as well as emotional. And, I mean, these are your people you love. You know, show people once you've worked with them. It's It's hard to come off of. It really is.
Have you ever been victimized by the tabloid press at all?
No. No, I've been pretty low profile. There has never been anything printed about me that's untrue.
Because I know Jace had a few things on him, but again,
well, between the imposter thing and just the erroneous stuff that comes up.
It's kind of difficult to answer those kind of people, though. I think it's nice when some of these big folks like the Tom Cruises and the Nicole Kidmans of the world sue these folks to get the truth out.
Right, because it does get out of hand. But, you know, that old saying, just so they spell my name right, any publicity is good publicity. there's a certain amount of truth to that. But, you know, you had asked me what Screen Actors Guild is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So minor consideration is started as grassroots. Paul got me appointed as the national chair, and we had a national conference in 1995. We had former child actors from all over the United States come to town, as well as current child actors. We had directors, producers, agents participate in a weekend of discussion. And for the last 4 years, we have been implementing what came to light there. And what came to light was that nothing changes
mm-hmm.
in this business. Every 5 years, the same loop of stuff happens. So we have been instrumental in what will be now getting our third piece of legislation passed. So we have done some very, very solid stuff going through Screen Actors Guild. We're the catalyst, and then the guild goes to work. And it's been a very fulfilling situation. It's compelling to do this.
Yeah, you were talking about the Coogan Law and the new 15% thing. The community property thing, wasn't that changed also?
Yes. I looked at the board. I said, you know, do you realize my earnings were on the table in my parents' divorce? And when you talk to adults and say, do you realize that this is the, you know, the deck stacked against child actors, they just kind of go, wow, no, didn't know that. So, yes, for the first time, children will now own their earnings.
Now, that's kind of nice.
Which is only fair because the IRS holds the child and only the child accountable for any back taxes.
That's right.
So even though the parent technically owned the money in California, if the IRS attached anyone, it would only be the child.
You know, when we talk about custody and all that and community property and child actors, all I can think of is Macaulay Culkin and what his family went through and he went through with his money.
Well, Macaulay was fortunate, you know that, because he was such a star. They always had superior court contracts for him. And so the Coogan Law, and when it was a California contract, kicked in. So he had a very significant amount of money saved.
Yeah, he did. But, I mean, you could see, though, that all the problems he would have had if he wasn't covered by that.
Right, because it definitely changes things when all of a sudden the child is making monstrous money as compared to any adult in the family. It throws everything off balance, and everyone has to adjust and hopefully do it wisely.
Yeah.
A lot of times unwise decisions are made.
It's huge.
Anyway, another thing we did was that it was never officially an excused absence in school when a child was working, even though they'd go and they'd have their tutoring and they'd do their assignments and they'd go back with a report card. It was never officially on the books in this huge industry in California as an excused absence. So kids were being penalized. They were losing grades.
Huh.
Yeah, right. So when we went back, you know, one of the actresses who played in Grapes of Wrath, Shirley Mills Hanson, came to our conference, and she said, "You mean to tell me that has not been fixed yet?" You know, here we are from like the 1940s to 1990s.
Right.
So that was one of the first things we did.
Wow. So you're doing a lot of things, and obviously every day that you're in there studying all these issues, more issues keep coming to the board.
Yeah.
Because the business is changing. You know, business changes every day.
Mm-hmm. And we're cleaning up problems that are 50 years old.
Yeah. Now, what about the new developments like the internet and videos and all these different things that are out there? Are these all being tackled as well?
I am not instrumental in that. The guild watches out for all its members in contracts for new venues.
Mm-hmm.
So that is not particularly something that,
yeah.
You know, just for children. So we're just dealing with the real specifics of what a child actor experiences.
Well, we're talking with Dr. Jean Russell. She, of course, was Margaret on Dennis the Menace and is now a chiropractor in California. And thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing some of your thoughts with us.
Well, my pleasure. My pleasure. I hope this was interesting and helpful for you.
We'll talk again.
Okay, thank you
Take
so
care.
Much, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lovely Margaret from Dennis the Menace. Imagine, I remember that show distinctly. I remember Margaret, too. She kind of gave him some troubles once in a while, but was actually very nice to Dennis for the most part. Let's go to a break. We'll come back with more after this.